We're reading tonight in the 21st chapter, 21st chapter of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. A big, sulking baby, that's what he was. One minister in the gospel called him Ahab the toad. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad, and thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I speak unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat bread, let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote to, in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had said unto them, and as it was written in the letters which he had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth." The Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Ending our lesson at verse 17, and God will stamp this reading of his infallible book with the seal of approval of the Spirit of God. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. The 20th chapter of the 21st chapter of the first book of Kings. And what a chapter this is. We are introduced here to the following characters. We have Naboth, the most virtuous of all citizens, the man Naboth. He is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his death is a type of Christ's wonderful death in the stead of sinners. Then we have Ahab, the most vile of kings. And the Bible says something about Ahab that it says about no other kings. It says he did very abominably, verse 26, in following idols, sacrificing to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children. And it said there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work. He was the man of whom we can say he made the greatest possible purchase without spending a penny piece. And he lost his soul in the doing of it. Ahab, the most vile of kings. Naboth, the most virtuous of citizens. Then we have Jezebel, the most vicious of queens. And what a hateful person Jezebel was. And then we have these elders, and these elders were the most vacillating elders you could find anywhere in any generation of the world. And then you had witnesses, and these witnesses were very venomous witnesses. They were children of the serpent. Then last of all, overshadowing all these, is Elijah, the most valiant of prophets. It would be impossible for me, in the short time that I have, to deal fully with these matters. We will have to come back to this subject. But look first with me at this man, Naboth. Who was he? He was a faithful citizen, one of the 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. For when he was challenged by the king, the word of the Lord was upon his mouth. And he said, "The Lord forbid it me." He was not a Baal worshiper. He was not part of the apostasy of his day. He was a separate and truly godly man. He was unfortunate because he was the neighbor of the king. And if you read these books, historical books, you'll find that Ahab was known for the building of the most beautiful ivory palace that ever was seen in the Middle East. And near to that palace was a vineyard, a place where the grapes were grown, and the juice was pressed, and the juice of the grape was a type of the blood. And the king said, "Give me that vineyard. I don't want it to be a place of grapes and flowing juice reminding me of blood. I want to make it a garden of herbs where I can enjoy my sin and my sinning, my ease and my pleasure, and the things I want to do." And he said, "Look, I'll pay you well if you sell me your vineyard. Or if you don't want to sell it, I will give you a vineyard better than your vineyard in exchange for your vineyard." And this man of God, Naboth, said no. He didn't say no because he wanted to make the king angry. He didn't say no because he wanted to resist the king. He said no because he was bound by the law of God. For the law of God said, "Ye shall not sell your heritage to anybody. It must remain in your family, and generation after generation must hand it on, and it must not even leave the tribe into which you were born. It is tied to that tribe forever. You are only a tenant of a vineyard that is mine. You are only a tenant of what has been bequeathed to you in the royal heritage. This vineyard is not yours. It is mine." And so Naboth said, "The Lord forbid it me that I give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." First commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I'm not having another god, and you're not going to be my god. You did not give me this vineyard. You may well take it from me, but I will not be any part of that dirty deal to give away the Lord's heritage. "For thou hast told me, cleave to the inheritance of the tribe of your fathers." Numbers 36, verse 7. "And your word tells me I must not part with what the Lord has given." And the other commandment is the commandment number 5. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land that the Lord thy God," listen, "giveth thee." It's given to you as a tenant. So this man, chained with the two chains of the commandments, refused to break God's commandment. He refused to obey the idolatrous king. He refused to do what God said he must not do. And he refused to do it. He was the most virtuous of citizens of his day and generation. Naboth. But for a moment, let me show you Ahab, the most vile of kings. What a vile person Ahab was. His sin was so vile that God said there was none like him either before him, and none like him even when they came after him. Here is the blackest sinner outside hell, although he is the king over the Lord's heritage. For the past years of his reign, he was seen as the most vile of kings. First of all, he was guilty of the vilest idolatry and sponsored the calf worship of the idolatry that was maintained by the false priests of Bethel and Dan. And the statutes of Omri, the first idolatrous king over the children of Israel. And he carried on that sin of schism, separation from God's true religion, and the apostatizing of the kingdom of Israel to do the work of the devil. Secondly, he was guilty of the sin of mixed marriage. He ought not to have tied himself up to Jezebel. Jezebel came from Tyre, and she was a Baal worshipper, and her father was the chief king priest of the Baal religion, and yet she entered into wedlock with the king of God's house and throne of Israel. There couldn't have been a deeper insult to God's law and God's truth and God's commandment is that. Mixed marriage is a curse, and it brings the curse of God with it. And it brought the curse of God to Ahab. Thirdly, his was the sin of idolatry. Samaria had its temple of Baal and its altar of Baal. And we read that this man, Ahab, chapter 21, 26, and it tells us there that he did abominably. And it came to pass that this man did abominably as far as idolatry was concerned. He became one of the most immoral kings that ever sat on Israel's throne. And if you read carefully 2 Kings, you'll find a list of his illegitimate children, which he had because of his sinful impurity. He was also a defiler of God's true religion, and he committed the great sin of persecuting the prophets of God and persecuting the people of God. And at the end of the day, he was a party to the murder of Naboth and his sons. Ahab, the most vile of kings. And he came to his palace and he lay down upon the bed, and he turned his face to the wall, and he wept. There was another king who came home and put his face to the wall, and he wept. But he wept the tears of repentance and was pardoned and healed. But this man wept the tears of wickedness, and he was damned, and his damned soul is in hell, and he wheels for all eternity in the caverns of everlasting judgment. Ahab, none like him before in the roll call of sinners. None ever like him again. Ahab, the most vile of kings. But his consort, Queen Jezebel, was the most vicious of queens. Her depravity was amazing. And if you study the story, you will see how amazing it was, and how she schemed, and how she used every evil deed that she could think up in order to have Naboth murdered, and then those that would have inherited his vineyard and came into possession of it at the death of their father Naboth were all destroyed. She used genocide on the whole family and wiped the whole family out. Jezebel. She was filled with adulteries, the Bible tells us. She was filled with idolatrous abominations. She persecuted the true priests of the Lord and put them to death, and swore it that she would kill God's man, Elijah. What a picture this Bible shows us of this most vicious of queens. And she said to Ahab, the most vilest of kings, "Don't be crying. Are you not king? I will get you. Without paying a penny piece, I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth that you covet. I'll get you." First, to the elders of the city, instructing them what to do, to rig the court, to bring a false charge, to see that false witnesses were sworn in, and to see at the end of the day the blood of the man of God, Naboth, and the blood of every one of his sons would flow in dark death at that very spot. Those elders were the most vacillating elders of any city. They'd do anything for royal approval. In fact, further on, those very elders killed every one of the sons of Ahab. In another chapter, you'll read it, how they put to death every son that Ahab had with his immoral life, and put them in baskets, and carried them at the request of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, to the valley outside the palace that was formerly Ahab's. These were men without any holiness, without any truthfulness, without any veracity, without any compunction whatsoever. And they were prepared to do what the vilest of queens had asked them to do. And so an assembly was called. A rigged court was convened. And before that court stood these feminist witnesses. What does it tell us here? that when she got the court in hand, she told them that they were to get two men. Look at it. Children of Belial. Belial is the devil. She says, you've got to get two sons of hell, and you've got to enlist them to bear witness against Naboth. Not against him because he wasn't a Baalite, but accusing him that he had blasphemed God and the king. She was prepared to use the revival of the true religion that came as a result of the coming from heaven of the holy fire. Let God be God, or let Baal be God. And God honored Elijah, and the fire came, and God's name was vindicated. And she used the name of a vindicated God as an excuse to get at this man. She would stoop, her a Baalite, stoop to profess her admiration for the worship of Jehovah by using these evil men to lay their blasphemous charges against Naboth and his sons. And so they made their witness, and the stones were cast, and Naboth died and all his sons. The whole family wiped out. And she thought that all was well, but all was not well. There was an omniscient eye looking down over that vineyard. There was an eye that never slumbers or sleeps, had taken cognizance of everything that was done. And when the Lord saw what was done, that Naboth was condemned to die, that the elders had become confederate with the wicked queen and the wicked king to kill a man of God, that the whole family was wiped out, God said to Elijah, I have a job for you to do. And we come to see Elijah, the most valiant of the prophets. The old man Elijah, his job is almost complete. He's ready for heaven. He's ready for the whirlwind to take him to God's heaven. He's never going to die, this man, because this man never died. Elijah went alive into heaven by the whirlwind. And he did not go in the chariot of fire, because the chariot of fire doesn't go to heaven. The chariot of fire is a type of the presence of God with the people of God on earth. But he went in the whirlwind to heaven. And he appeared again. And when Ahab got down to the vineyard to take over the vineyard that he had covenanted, the man of God was there. And Ahab cried out, hast thou found me, O my enemy? And Elijah said, I'm not your enemy. You're your own enemy. You've got the greatest possible purchase, and you think you've got it without a penny piece. But I've come to tell you, you have paid a price that you will mourn over and weep over for all the unending ages of God's long eternity. And there was that great meeting, confrontation between God's man and the devil's agent. And with fearless words, the great man of God spoke. And he said, "Hast thou killed and also taken possession? But thou shalt say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." I will give public testimony. I will make the ear of every person in your kingdom to tingle. I will cause such a powerful sword of judgment upon you and your house that the whole of the nation shall tremble and all the nations round about. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that made Israel to sin. And so the time of judgment came. But this man, when he heard the sentence, he was afraid. He was shaken to the very depths of his soul. And he rent his clothes. Ahab, that vile man, rent his clothes. He not only rent his clothes, but he put sackcloth upon his flesh. He fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went softly. He went to hell in slippers. He went softly to the pit. But you say, did he not repent? No. This was a false outward show in the flesh, coming from fear and not from true repentance. And the Lord did not take away his judgment. The Lord only deferred the day that the judgment should fall. It was deferred punishment, but it came. There is no putting away of sin without true repentance. And there was not one pinhead of repentance in this man's heart. He was sad and sorrowful because he was found out. But in getting what he could not buy, he lost his soul. Now, as I said, Naboth is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the trial of Naboth, you'll find it's like the trial of our Lord Jesus. If you look at the stoning of Naboth, it's like the times that Christ was stoned. If you look at the court that passed judgment upon our Lord Jesus, it was the same type of court that passed judgment upon Naboth. If you look at the charge that was put against Naboth, it was the very same charge that was put against our Lord. A charge of blasphemy against God and the king, old Caesar. Everything about this killing of Naboth runs parallel with the killing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by cruel hands was taken and crucified and slain. And so there is a deep meaning here. Trample underfoot the blood of Christ, and there's no repentance. You may put on the garden, but you can put on the gilded slippers and walk the road to hell, but you're still walking the road to hell. You're not on the road to heaven. What a fool you are, sinner, to sell Christ as Ahab sold his soul. What a fool to go to the never-ending hell of judgment because of some fool thing that you know can never satisfy your heart. This is one of the most solemn messages written in the book of God. But let me tell you, there's another king who was just as wicked, just as sinful, and just as putrid as Ahab. But God really saved him. His name was Manasseh, and he was the vilest sinner in the Old Testament. He lost his throne. He was in the prison in the far country. Everybody said he was finished. But in the dark dungeon, he knelt upon his knees and he prayed for repentance. And God gave him repentance. And it was a repentance not to be repented of. And he showed by his future life that he had genuinely returned to his God. And he became a great man. And he had a great grandson who became a great king in Judah. For thank God there's mercy with the Lord. And where there is true repentance, there will be true remission. And when there's a turning away from sin, God will cleanse the heart and make it whiter than the snow. Are you going to be an Ahab or a Manasseh? Are you going to be damned? Are you going to be saved? You're going to make that decision now as this meeting draws to a close. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy solemn word, and we pray that You'd write it on every heart. And grant, O God, that there may be no false repentance. There may be no false converts, but men and women from this meeting will seek the Lord while He may be found, and will call upon Him while He is near. Hear this our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.